And our theme this week is joy. It's one of my favorite pictures of Christmas. Hopefully we're experiencing more joy than these little ones during this season. And to help us get into that joyful Christmas spirit, let's take some time first for a little bit of Christmas movie trivia. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to play a clip from a Christmas movie, and then you can just go ahead and shout out the name of it if you know what it is. So let's begin.
Santa. Ho, ho, ho!
And that one is Elf. Elf, story of Buddy from the North Pole who has grown up thinking he's a Christmas elf and discovers he's actually human, goes off to New York to find his family and have an adventure. All right, let's do the next one.
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
It's a wonderful life. George Bailey discovers what life would have been like without him if he'd never been born. Okay, here's one of my favorites.
Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem.
Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Brown.
Brownest, yes. And that one is Charlie Brown's Christmas, where he learns about the real meaning of Christmas. And then the final one.
Well, we won't beat about the bush, my friend. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. Which leaves me no alternative but to raise your salary.
And that was Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge. A story of an overnight transformation. And of course, there are many other Christmas movies, including Hallmark movies. I watch Hallmark Christmas movies. I'm here to tell you. And for me, what they all have in common is this. It's a message of hope and transformation. Message of transformation and hope. My talk title is A Star of Hope, and that's what this season is all about. The possibility for change, the hope for something greater to come forth, the birth of something new in our lives, a deeper dimension of who we are coming forth through the transforming power within us. Earlier this month, we took a look at the Christmas story symbolically through the eyes of Mary and Joseph. And we explored the meaning of the divine marriage, what happens when we find harmony and balance between head and heart, which is what Joseph and Mary metaphysically represent. And from that alignment, that we can bring forth the birth of something new, something greater in our life. And I mentioned at that time how the virgin birth story of an avatar born around the winter solstice was found in many, many different traditions predating Christianity. And the other elements as well in the story of the birth of Jesus are also well known in other traditions. Moses and Abraham had bright stars shining when they were born. The births of Krishna, Buddha, the Greek god Apollo, all foretold by stars, some kind of celestial heralding with angelic beings coming to proclaim the news. Jesus wasn't the only one with visitors bearing gifts. Krishna was also given gifts of sandalwood and perfumes. The Buddha was visited by Rishi who brought costly jewels and precious substances. Confucius was visited by wise men at the birth. And so we find these symbols throughout many, many different traditions. And what that tells me is that these symbols are universal symbols that can give us some insight as to the underlying truth that's contained in the story. So today we're going to look at the deeper meaning of the star, the shepherds, the angels, and the wise men. And by looking at the metaphysical meaning behind each symbol, we can find what's the personal meaning for me. What does this personally mean for me in my path of awakening to that deeper knowing of who I am? So what does the star symbolize within you and me? The star in this story represents the guiding light that is within every single one of us. It's the inspiration, it's the illumination, it's the divine ideas that come from spirit within us, that brilliant vision that can come forth. And that is always just ready and waiting to shine for us. Metaphysically, the Star of Bethlehem leads us to a higher consciousness within. It calls us to follow, see, to find it. And that star is ever present, always ready to awaken us to the truth, to the deeper truth that we are one with the presence, that there is no separation, that we are all expressions of that oneness. And it's ready to awaken us to that truth and to guide us to the sleeping child. Because you think of that sleeping child, it's the realization of who we are within us, and we want to wake that up. And it's cradled in our hearts always. So this guidance is always ready to lead us. It's willing to lead us. It's the living light. It's the star of hope. But we have to be receptive to listening and to following it. In the story, if you remember, only certain people could see the star. King Herod, you might remember, couldn't see it. And we're going to hear more about King Herod a little later. But the star was shining brightly for everyone to see, but Herod was unable to follow it. Only the illumined followed it. And so metaphysically, the guidance is always there for us to follow, has always been there for us to follow, but do we see it? Are we getting the message from spirit? Or are we looking with a clouded vision, obscured by judgments, seeing through limiting beliefs from the past? Because those clouds can hide our view of the light. And so we have to raise our sights. As Unity's co-founder Charles Fillmore said, stars may be remote, but are bright if we look up to them. We need to look up, raise our vision to a higher perspective, and then we start to see with clarity. But we have to be in a place of openness and willingness and wonder, the same kind of wonder that the shepherds were in that night. The wonder. They were the first to pay homage to the baby Jesus after being visited by an angel and told where to find the Holy Family. So just imagine the shepherds that night, humble, quietly tending their flock, when they are dazzled by the appearance of the angel. We can all be dazzled by that. When you and I stay in a place of humble, hopeful expectancy, gratitude, with openness, with a willingness to be led to the truth, we can also have those flashes of deep spiritual understanding and insight. And tending the flock, metaphysically, means watching our thoughts, being mindful, keeping them focused and in alignment with what we want to bring forth, corralling our thoughts, in a sense, choosing our thoughts wisely. And when we do that, we can be visited by an angel. So angels are messengers of spirit, working inside every one of us right now, bringing forth good tidings of great joy, if we're humble and quiet enough to hear it. So let me ask you, are you tending your clock? You're not your clock. You're winding your clock. Are you tending your sheep, your flock? Are you spending time in the quiet every day listening for the messages from Spirit?
Yes. Yes.
Listening for the word from the angels. Because when we listen and look for angels, we start to find them. Why? Because they're everywhere present. They're all around us right now. Every one of us is called to be a messenger of Spirit's blessing. Do you know that about yourself? We all have angelic impulses, and when we follow them, we are being in service to humanity in a great way. By following those angelic inspirations, we can be led to the birth of something greater, and we can help to make the world a better place. And it's that feeling of joy that rises up with this angelic energy. that we're talking about today. And that joy exists right now in every single one of us throughout the whole year. Maybe it gets activated during the holiday season, but the truth is, it is our deeper dimension of wholeness and beauty that is accessible to us every moment of our lives. And we awaken to that deeper dimension through the heart. Through the heart. Through our acts of kindness and love and giving. Following those angelic impulses to be the presence of love and compassion in the world. And doesn't the world need more of that? Are you up for it?
Yes.
You know, one of the reasons I love this time of year so much is because my mom, she was the biggest kid of all at Christmas. She radiated joy this time of year, and it was real joy. And she instilled it in me. So every December, it kicks in for me automatically. And I always miss my mom so much this time of year, especially when I'm doing decorating or something that we used to do together. I really feel it. So this time of year can be especially hard for those of us who may be separated from our loved ones, whether that's physical distance, whether they've passed on, or whether there's some kind of estrangement of some kind. It can be a tough time for us because it's all about connection. And so part of what we want to do is to make sure we are connecting with the deeper self. You see, I recently read a story called The Man Who Missed Christmas by J. Edgar Park. This man, his name was George Mason in the story. He was in his office on Christmas Eve. He was the last person to leave the office. And he walked into the massive safe, the vault, to deposit some important papers, not realizing that the door was silently swinging shut behind him. And it slammed shut, and he was trapped. And there was no way to get out until someone came to open the safe the next morning. Now, he was, at first he panicked, he was very upset, but then he found a source of air that was blowing in from a fan, so he knew that he was in no physical danger. He would just have to sit it out and wait. And then it dawned on him, tomorrow was Christmas. No one would be in the office. And he began to wonder, this is fictional, by the way, before we get all worried about George. He began to wonder who would miss him. And he realized no one would. He was unmarried. He lived alone. He'd been invited to spend Christmas with his brother's family, but children got on his nerves, and they all expected gifts. So he told them he wasn't coming. He was invited to play music at a special Christmas gathering at a local nursing home, but he turned that down too. And he decided he just wanted to stay home and be alone. That was all he was going to do on Christmas Day. So suddenly he realized that no one would come to open the safe because no one in the whole world would miss him. And so he spent those long hours over the holiday all alone in the office vault. And he saw that his life had to change. Well, the day after Christmas, the clerk came early, opened the safe, and then went about his business. And no one saw George stagger out and make a beeline to the restroom, I'm guessing. Then he took a cab for home, changed his clothes, shaved, returned, and no one said a word as he came back into the office. He had vanished over Christmas, and no one even knew it. Now, during his time in the vault over a holiday, this man had done a lot of thinking. He made some commitments. He decided to reshape his life. He was going to live life differently. So a year later, he was a different person. Again, it was Christmas Eve. Again, he was the last to leave the office. This time, he went over and carefully shut the door and stayed outside of it this time. And as he left, he went out singing with his arms laden with gifts. He was on his way to his brother's house. He was open-hearted. He was connected to the warmth and the kindness and the caring within him. And as he was leaving, he looked at the words that he had written and hung in his office that said, "To love people, to be indispensable somewhere, that's the purpose of life and the secret of happiness." Now, we all have the potential for this kind of transformation, you see. This is kind of a modern version for me of Christmas Carol. We don't have to have some kind of traumatic experience to help us to transform. We can do this without that. And to be an angel in someone's life, that is what divine love in action looks like. You know, kindness is our natural state. It's who we really are. We're being spirit in action when we are being kind and caring with people. So are you following the angelic impulses that bring you joy? Because that guidance and inspiration will lead you right inside of yourself. And you will discover such amazing wonders, as the wise men in our story also discovered. From the book of Matthew, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Now Herod is troubled by their question. After all, he was the king of the Jews. So he gathered his scribes together and asked them where Christ would be born, and they answered, "Bethlehem." So Herod sent the wise men there and told them, "Come back and tell me when you found the baby so I can worship too." Herod is the Darth Vader of the Bible story. Up to no good. This is a king who's so threatened by the birth of the Christ child, he orders all babies under the age of 2 to be killed. Nasty. Can we get a boo for Herod? Remembering, of course, that all the characters and symbols in the story can be found within us. So what do you think Herod represents in the story of our spiritual journey? It's the ego. Yes, yes. The voice of the ego, standing for edging God out. It's the false identity, the part of us that believes in separation from God, that believes in our littleness, that's always threatened by the birth of something new, by the expansion of our spiritual identity, because what will happen to it? Sees it as a threat. In fact, tries to kill off the idea. It's the voice inside us that tells us we can't do it, or that we're powerless, or that we're not good enough. You know this voice? When we hear the voice of Herod, we have to remember it's not speaking the truth. And the wise men realize it. They knew better than to go back and tell him that they'd found the child. We have that same wisdom inside of us, helping us to discern the truth. So wise men from the east, we assume there were three of them, since there were three gifts. It doesn't actually say that anywhere. Maybe there were more and they pitched in on a gift. So the wise men represent metaphysically our own inner wisdom, our spiritual insight. Later in Matthew we read, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now the gifts that they brought represent our own spiritual resources. Gold is the abundance in our lives when we follow Spirit's guidance. Frankincense is the transforming power of prayer. Like incense, it rises heavenward. And myrrh, used for embalming, the power of surrender and release. These are the riches that are available to us through our realization of our oneness with the presence and the power of the divine. And as we surrender to that greater mind, as we expand our prayer consciousness, as we let go of limitations that may be holding us back, these gifts just naturally rise up. And those gifts are within us all right now, waiting to be unwrapped. And these were not cheap gifts. These were substantial investments. From my understanding, in those days, gold was worth 600 a pound. Same for frankincense, and myrrh was a whopping $4,000 a pound. Not cheap gifts. But I always used to think that maybe they could have brought something a little more useful for a baby, like swaddling clothes, for instance, right? And I thought, wow, right here is where the tradition began of giving gifts that end up in garage sales later on.
Lots of myrrh.
However, I recently read that myrrh is very good for diaper rash, so there you have it. Maybe they were more useful than I thought. So gift giving. You know, I read the true story about a kindly 90-year-old grandmother who found buying presents for her family and friends a bit much one Christmas. So she wrote out checks for all of them and to put in the Christmas cards, and then she wrote on the card, "Buy your own present," and sent them all off to everybody. After the Christmas festivities were over, she was clearing off her desk, and guess what she found? The checks that were supposed to accompany the cards. All her loved ones had received a Christmas card from her without checks saying, "Buy your own present." So gift giving can be complicated. You know, weirdly, as I was writing this talk, I got a call from my granddaughter, Brianne, letting me know that my Christmas card to her had arrived, torn open, and a plastic bag around it with an apology from the post office, and nothing inside. So I spent a couple hours that morning on the phone canceling the check to her and reissuing it, and the story really hit home for me, and I was so glad I didn't just write on there, "Buy your own present." Of course, the real gift is the gift of our presence. That's the real gift that we give to our loved ones and to the world. We're the way that the divine reveals itself to the world, and our mandate is to spread love. Imagine if you are here to be the vehicle for compassion. How might you have to change your life? So this Christmas, like Elf, let's discover who we really are and then strike out and share that with the world and have our own adventure. Like George Bailey, let's live in such a way that we see that the world is a better place because we're in it. Like Charlie Brown, let's really get to the true meaning of Christmas this year in a deeper, deeper way. And like Ebenezer, let's remember it's never too late. It's never too late to step into who we've come here to be and to transform our lives. So I invite all of us to stop hiding our light under a bushel or keeping our joy locked up in a vault. And realize that who we are matters right here and right now. You matter. You are here to bring your gifts to this planet. Now's the time, and we're the ones that we've been waiting for. So to take the Christmas story to a deeper level, follow that star. Look within yourself for that guiding light, spirit's inspiration, illumination, direction. And in order to do that, spend time in the silence, listening with humble expectancy, with gratitude. Then tend to your thoughts. Keep them focused on what you want to come forth and listen for those angelic messages. Look for the angels in your life. Be an angel to someone. And then let the wisdom of your heart be your guide. Allow that wisdom to rise up from within you, bearing gifts. The power of God lies within every single one of us as a sleeping giant waiting to be awakened in order to be expressed and make a difference in the world. The true message of the story of the birth of Jesus is about that awakening. Through the birth and our awareness of a deeper dimension of who we are, the loving, joy-filled presence of the Christ. May all beings awaken to this truth. Merry Christmas.